On Wednesday, Turkey launched Operation Euphrates Shield in northern Syria by sending in tanks, planes, and ground forces under the pretext of liberating the town of Jarablus from Daesh terrorists. But it soon became apparent that the offensive was just as much against Syrian Kurdish forces as it was against Daesh, at least. What has ensued since has been a sling of claims and counterclaims. Turkey accuses Syrian Kurdish fighters of ethnic cleansing, while the country itself stands accused of killing around 35 civilians in its latest offensive. As Turkey vows to protect its borders against, quote, terrorist organizations, we ask at what cost? And is regional security really the objective here? Stay tuned to this edition of The Debate.
Turkey is pressing ahead with its military operation in northern Syria. Dozens of Turkish tanks have entered the Syrian soil. Turkish warplanes have also pounded dozens of locations inside the Syrian territory. The airstrikes and artillery shells have killed dozens of Syrian civilians in northern Syria over the past 2 days. Ankara says the mission, which began last Wednesday, is aimed at securing its border towns and villages from Daesh terrorists. But many believe the operation was launched against Kurdish forces operating in northern Syria. Ankara says it will step up its military campaign against the YPG Kurdish forces if they do not withdraw to the eastern parts of the Euphrates River.
So immediately, YPG should move towards eastern part of Euphrates, as promised by the United States and as U.S. explained before. If they don't move, they'll become a target.
The Turkish foreign minister also accused Kurdish forces of conducting ethnic cleansing in areas under their control.
Arabs in Manbij and the region are not the target. Our common aim is cleansing the area from Daesh. And those people that were forced to leave this place should be placed in this region. They should live there, but YPG's aim is not that. YPG engage in ethnic cleansing, including Kurds who do not think like them, and force them to move.
Ankara's threats are set to further strain ties with the United States. Washington has criticized as unacceptable the clashes between the Turkish army and U.S.-backed Kurdish forces, including YPG militants. The U.S. envoy to the so-called anti-ISIL coalition has also described the violence as a source of concern. Analysts believe Turkey's military offensive against Kurdish forces, which are supported by the United States, is likely to put the relations of the two NATO allies on a collision course.
So what we see here is the beginning of the Turkish army working directly against the initiatives of the Americans, and it's actually a clear indication that Turkey is not as closely aligned with the American objectives, and is taking some consideration from what Iran and Russia have been pushing against the hegemony of not only the United States, but their allies in the region.
Since the beginning of the Syria crisis, Turkey, along with Saudi Arabia and Qatar, has been criticized for supporting anti-Damascus militants. But Ankara's latest move to militarily intervene in Syria is set to further complicate the situation on the ground in northern Syria and delay the political settlement of the crisis.
Let me welcome Omar Nashabi. He's a journalist and political commentator, and he joins us from studios in Beirut to this edition of The Debate. Mr. Nashabi, thank you very much for joining us here on Press TV. Now, the Syrian Kurdish, or the YPG forces, have declared that they're retreating from their positions in the Jarablus countryside. But will it be enough to satisfy Turkey?
Yes. I think we should first put things in context. You see, Turkey is one of the most powerful players in the region, and it represented for a very long time. It's true that the Gulf countries like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and other countries supported the incursion against the uprising against the legally elected regime in Syria. Yet Turkey had the upper hand, and now we are witnessing the position that is a confusing strategy on the part of Turkey and a confusing strategy on the part of the whole bloc that is the political bloc that is the NATO bloc that was trying to destabilize Syria, and I think the whole plan failed. And therefore, there is some confusion here. The Turks are now saying that they want to protect their borders from terrorist groups such as ISIS, although we all know that, and it was very apparent during the past years, that it was Turkey and that was buying the oil from ISIS, who were controlling some parts of Iraq and some parts of Syria where there was oil. So it's a bit confusing to actually now see Turkey as attacking the same forces that threatened the illegal government forces in Syria. Now, we have a three-front war that Turkey is leading today. First, it wants to, or it's saying it wants to fight ISIS. And it's taking this as a pretext to make an incursion in violation of international law. So it's entering with its tanks. It's violating Syrian sovereignty. And that's not the first time. They did that a couple of years back. But this time, they're saying that they are fighting the terrorist group that is ISIS, whereas, as your report showed, they are targeting the Kurdish rebel groups. Now, so they have ISIS, they have the Kurdish rebel groups, and they have also the internal instability inside Turkey. Well, they had an attempted coup that failed. However, immediately after the attempted coup, the Turkish government called the Americans to hand over Mr. Gulen, and the Americans didn't hand over Mr. Gulen until today. And that is what I said earlier on Press TV, in fact, that the second day after the incursion, it was clear that there was no cooperation on the part of the Americans, and there's still a very confusing story about what actually happened and what is the actual situation in the Turkish-American relations and what's happening inside NATO, because as your report says, this is an inconsistent policy in the NATO camp between the Turks and the Americans.
Right, let me just jump in there, Mr. Nashabi. You've made some significant points there. However, let's just leave the U.S. Blessing, or so to speak, when it comes to Turkish intervention for a bit later on in this conversation. However, I'd like to touch on this quote-unquote inconsistency on the part of the Turkish government. Is it inconsistency, or are they really focused on securing their borders and keeping the PKK within their borders under check by making sure that they don't have powerful allies on the Syrian side of the border?
Yes. I'm saying, this inconsistency doesn't mean that they don't know what they want. They know what they want, and they wanted the regime to fall in Damascus much earlier. And they thought, and this is their biggest mistake, is that they thought, and that they put, you know, they put all their bets on the fact that on the illusion that the Syrian regime is going to collapse in the first couple of years after the trouble started in Syria. And that plan did not work. And now that's why they appear confused. Now, after also the failed attempted coup in Turkey, that created a situation where they felt that they have to act. And they cannot act and say to the world that they want to attack the Kurdish forces. So they have to go with the international current and the international direction, that is to be part of the international coalition against Daesh and against ISIS, that is. And therefore, that is what they did. They entered the Syrian territory under the pretext that they are targeting Daesh, whereas in reality, they are pushing the Kurds back in order to deprive them from reaching their objective. And, you know, their objective is to have a Kurdish independent state. And therefore, we're talking now about redrawing the map of the Middle East. And the Turks want to have a big say in it, and they are confident that if they show any weakness, then their biggest threat, their biggest nightmare could become a reality. And their biggest nightmare does not appear to be Daesh as much as it appears to be the Kurdish forces.
All right, but Mr. Nashabi, by making these strategic moves, so to speak, on Syrian territory, and even on Iraqi soil, is Turkey miscalculating here? Is Erdogan stretching Turkey too thin so that it might not be able to deal with the blowback back home?
Yeah, well, perhaps, I'm not sure. I mean, this the days to come will show perhaps more information about this and more insight. But apparently there are talks that are ongoing between the Turks and the Russians, and the Turks are trying to have some contact and some diplomatic maneuvers in the region. And I think perhaps this kind of incursion, although it's not a full-fledged incursion, so if you review the numbers and the figures, this is a very limited number of tanks, and the airstrikes were also very limited. So we're not talking about a wide-scale invasion or wide-scale incursion. It's still very much, it's still under control, and it's still symbolic, and therefore I think it paves the way for having it like a card on the table when they want to do some political maneuvering. The Turks want to say that they are, that the coup d'etat, the failed coup d'etat did not affect their might of their army, the power of their army, and they are able to become a serious player and a serious decision maker, not to be avoided when it comes to dividing the region, if there is a plan to divide the region. Unfortunately, apparently, there is a plan to create some kind of division between spheres of influence that are already there on the ground, so therefore there could be a plan for a federal system perhaps in the region, and that is what is going to be very difficult to realize, actually. I mean, I think there will be some difficulties, and there will be more war, unfortunately, before the region is ready for a settlement.
Well, speaking of that, Mr. Nushabi, I'd like to pick up on that point of dividing the region, and there has been talk of dividing Syria, at least, and there are concerns of that has been raised by Turkey, at least, of, so to speak, a Kurdish independent state carved out in Syria or even in Iraq. Now, is Turkey correct in wanting to nip it in the bud, so to speak, or is it overreaching its own limitations and boundaries?
Well, I'm not sure. This is not only this Turkey's decision. There are many factors and many variables that play into that. There's number one. There's the field remarks and what's happening on the field. And here on that level, well, it's not very clear that the forces that are supported by Turkey have the upper hand in Syria. So therefore, it's not what they want. It is what is there on the ground, and the Syrian government has proven since 2011, since the beginning of the trouble in Syria, it has proven that it is solid, that it is capable of maintaining its position and its control over large parts of Syria, and that the regime is not going to collapse. The Syrian state is there, and it is in control, and it is able. It has some weaknesses in some part of the country, but it's able to maintain and continue to be a sovereign state and a unified state.
Now, let me just jump in there and welcome Lawrence J. Korb into this conversation. He's a U.S. foreign policy and national security analyst, and he's joining us from Atlanta. Mr. Korb, thank you for finally making it to us here in the debate. And now, I put the question to you that I was discussing with Mr. Nushabi here, is that Turkey's concerns basically boil down to the possibility of Syrian Kurds carving out an independent state, so to speak, in Syria and emboldening the Kurds in Turkey as well. Now, how big is that a threat for Turkey or the region?
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that some elements of the Kurds are a threat to Turkey. They've been causing all kinds of violence in the country, and they're also concerned not only with Syria, but I think once Mosul falls, you're going to see the Kurds in that part of Iraq really become independent, and then they will try and join with some of the Kurds in Syria. So this is a concern, but the Turks are like everybody else that's involved in the Syrian civil war. They have several agendas. Yes, they're after ISIS because of the Istanbul bombing and because of the bombing of the wedding party. But like the Russians, who claim they're after ISIS, their main goal is to keep Assad in power. So you have everybody with different agendas there. And the Turks, yes, they want to get ISIS. They're also concerned about the Kurds.
Right, then, Mr. Korb, of course, then I guess the question is, does Turkey, despite its concern, have the right to intervene in Syria?
Well, I think basically because they've been attacked by ISIS elements in Syria, they have the right to respond to them. The Istanbul bombing and the killing, blowing up of what happened at the wedding here a couple of weeks ago, that gives them the right to do it. And ISIS is also a threat. Everybody agrees, even though they have different agendas, that ISIS is a threat to the world, not only because of what they're doing in Iraq and Syria, but inspiring lone wolf attacks and coordinating attacks around the world, just as the French and the Belgians had the right to get involved in Syria, because the Assad regime has not done its job in putting down ISIS. They've been more concerned with going after their own people.
Mr. Nashabi, your reaction to that,
yes.
Please.
Yes, well, yes.
Well, unfortunately, it seems we're having some technical difficulties there with Mr. Nashabi. We'll try and get him back on for you. But Mr. Korb, I'd like to pick up on that point that you've just made about Turkey having the right to go into Syria to fight Daesh or ISIS. However, it has become apparently clear that Turkey's main focus is the Kurds, the Syrian Kurds, or the YPG forces over there. And also, let's not forget that it was Turkey and its allies that fostered the situation on Syrian soil, which has resulted in ISIS or Daesh forming and attacking positions in Turkey or in other countries.
No, I think ISIS or Daesh was able to go into Syria because of the fact that Assad, when his people peacefully rose up to demand more of a say in the economics and political power in the country, he started using barrel bombs and chemical weapons, and that led to a full-scale rebellion, which ISIS was able to take advantage of. And I think that's the key thing. If back in 2011, Assad had done what the leaders in Tunisia had done, we wouldn't have this problem now.
All right, just hold on to your thoughts there. Let's cross over to our social media pages and see what our viewers are saying about this.
These areas have never belonged to Kurdish people. Turkish rebels, or call them terrorists, exiled Turkmens and Arabs while they claimed to fight against ISIS. Nobody said anything when they were invading the lands that never belonged to them at any time in history. North Syria's population contains Arabs and Turkmen. Kurdish population is maximum 5%. But now 85% of northern Syria is invaded by the US-backed Kurdish rebels. Turkish incursion is corrupting to past history and future events. Turkey's policy is just confused now. Kurds are not the enemy. NATO is the enemy. You may say I'm a dreamer, but soon Turkey will get rid of NATO. I think Recep Tayyip Erdogan is just waking up. It's very sad to see Turkey invading Syria in this manner, but we're going to keep an eye on the development since the Kurds have started withdrawing from the areas that Turkey doesn't want them to be. It's a trap. They're going to be straight thin and deep into the Syrian territory before getting decimated from the rear and all sides. Two-faced Erdogan playing both sides of the fence. It's a risky game he plays.
Some of the comments left for our viewers on our social media pages there as the conversation continues over there. Now, Mr. Korb, I'd like to pick up on a point that you had earlier made as far as civilian casualties go. At the end of the day, different strategic interests at play there on Syrian soil, and it's the civilians that are paying the price. Right now, the Syrian government has, in two messages to the UN, condemned Turkey's, quote, repetitive violations, aggression and massacre in the north of Syria.
Well, the Syrian government is hypocritical. The Assad government has killed hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians. They haven't let us have a ceasefire in Aleppo so the people can get out. According to the UN, they've been bombing.
Right,
and again, they're using.
Does that give the right for Turkey to do the same?
Look, Turkey has the right to defend itself, and that border has been used to attack, like it has in Istanbul and a little over 10 days ago, to a wedding. That's what they're trying to deal with, to prevent that from happening.
All right, Mr. Nashabi's back with us. Go ahead, Mr. Nashabi.
Yes, yes, I don't know what happened. There was a technical difficulty, but you know, that border, your guest from Atlanta, you know, he's talking about people having the right and not having the right. I think there should be a reference to that. It's not just a personal opinion who has the right and doesn't have the right. You know, there's international law. There's a representative of the Syrian government, the United Nations. And the United Nations is a source for international law. So who represents Syria in the United Nations? It is the Syrian government, the Syrian regime, the Assad regime, sir. And therefore, this border you're talking about, the Turkish have been smuggling weapons and smuggling terrorists from the Turkish border since the beginning, since 2011. So they've been pushing people with guns and weapons and terrorists into Syria to burn down, destroy Syria, to remove the regime. And that's what has been happening for the past years, sir. And now that, you know, the whole bet, the Turkish bet and the so-called part of the international community or whatever, the bet to actually remove the regime in Syria has failed. Now they are totally confused and they don't know how to put things together. And therefore they're saying that they have the right to enter Syrian sovereign territory and bomb and enter with their guns into Syrian territory. I mean, this is without asking any permission from Damascus, because your guest said, because of the reason that the Syrian government failed to stop the terrorists. Well, if the Syrian government failed to stop the terrorists, it can ask itself for aid, and it asked for Iranian military help, and it asked for Hezbollah military help, and this actually is happening, and it's achieving a great advance on the military level in Aleppo and in the northern parts of the country. And there have been repeated defeats by these terrorists, and they're being pushed back. The incursion of the Turks into Syrian territory is not to fight ISIS, sir. The Turks have been buying oil from ISIS. The incursion of the Turks into Syrian territory is to actually attack the Kurdish forces that actually threaten to create a Kurdish sovereign state. And that is a traditional, long-standing fight between the Kurds and the Turks. And there have been massive human rights violations by the Turkish government against the Kurds. And you know that. It's recorded in United Nations reports.
All right. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. Hopefully, we can continue this conversation at a later date without technical difficulties and delays. That was journalist and political commentator Omar Nashabi joining us from Beirut, and joining us from Atlanta was U.S. foreign policy and national security analyst Lawrence J. Korb. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for joining us in this edition of The Debate. From me and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.